passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the last first Thursday of 2020 here on the Dr. Kevin Show. Yes, that's correct. The last first Thursday of 2020 on the Dr. Kevin Show. And as you people, you listeners, my fans, as we like to say, I know, only in your head, Dr. Kevin. And so we know that the first Thursday of the month is when Matt Connerton comes and we discuss what's going on in the politics of the world. And sometimes we give it a spiritual perspective, and sometimes we just take out a shovel and shovel it, because there's sure a lot of it going around, and it's getting really deep. However, due to unforeseen circumstances that happened about 7 minutes ago, Matt is not going to be able to be on this, the last first Thursday of 2020. So, you know, isn't it such a 2020 thing to have happen? We wanted to talk about all the stuff going on. However, I have gotten for you coming in, about 10 minutes or so, an old friend, a very special guest, and somebody who was actually just on my podcast, Laughing, Loving, and Alive. And when she comes on, I'm going to let her introduce herself. I'll introduce her a little bit. And she's going to be sharing something pretty special that she has created as a way to help reach out and cross over some traditional barriers around this time of year and kind of how to put a little bit of a different and new spin on the nativity scene. So we'll be welcoming her in. I just reached out to her. Well, if Matt texted me 7 minutes ago, I texted her 5 minutes ago, and she'll be here in maybe 10 minutes. But until then, it's just you and me here on the Dr. Kevin Show, which means you can call in and be part of this conversation if you'd like. And if you would like to do so, then what you can be doing is you can call at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And I'm getting a little message here that she's going to be dialing in even a little earlier than that. So we're waiting just to get her on the line, and we'll introduce you. As we're waiting for her to come in, and I hear the lovely dulcet tones of none other than M.G. McManus. Near and dear to my heart.
Dr. Kevin, what a treat, an unexpected treat. I certainly hope this is what the holidays are bringing me. Unexpected treats, man. Can't we all just stand a few unexpected treats these days? Treats?
Yeah, well, you know, I think since the first 11 months was, you know, full of tricks, I think a month of treats is not too much to ask.
To wrap around to another holiday, trick-or-treat holiday.
Oh, yes, yes. So I had just started letting people know what had happened, because this is traditionally my first Thursday of the month where we actually discuss politics. But that's not going to happen today, because we have you, and I'm excited.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I want to introduce my audience to Mary Grace McManus, who likes to go by MG.
MG.
Because she's a little sporty classic, like all MGs are.
Thank you for not saying classic or old.
No. I would never say that. You're younger than I am, and I ain't
true,
old
true.
Yet, honey. I got news for you.
I'm standing with you.
But MG and I go back, 10, 12 years or more, back when I lived in Seattle, Washington. She is author of a book called Cheyenne, Journey to Birth, where she has this lovely dialogue with her unborn daughter, who has many lessons to tell her while she's still in the womb, to help her become the fabulous mother she became. Already was. And I can get confirmation from that from either one of your boys who were born first.
Yeah, Cheyenne's a little tougher. I have to admit to my bias, but they all turned out pretty okay.
Well, you know, I always say that we give birth to our unresolved issues and we just call them children.
It's true. I used to call them, or I still call them, mirror of my greatest joy and mirror of my greatest pain.
I would have gone mirror of my greatest sorrow, but that's okay. and it's usually because of what they're reflecting back to us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your pain. It's your pain when you look at it, you know, it's such, and I know we're actually here to talk about something else, but to take this minute and just revel in what the journey of parenthood is. I mean, I think the best summary I have come to is as we get these babies and we lead them out into the world, they lead us back to our soul. It's a two-way journey. You cannot raise a child and answer their purest, most innocent question without doing a check on your own heart and your own soul and ask yourself, wow, how did I come to that answer? You know, why do I call something good, bad, or otherwise? That's
well,
the journey.
And the challenge is sharing what we know, what we think we know, where we got stuck, what we don't know, but in a way that encourages them to transcend it.
And make it
theirs.
I was loving my spiritual journey on the way into pregnancy and into babies, and I had this great thought that I'd be raising them open-minded and spiritually aware and not let them get tripped up by the same things that I got tripped up by. But I tell you what, I am not more powerful than the universe. That was my revelation. And the journey of each one of us is to get tripped up, is to run into what we came here to expand and exercise and make stronger. Not even God itself, whatever your vision of that universal power is, could bring a human child in and keep it devoid of the human experience.
And why would you want to? You know, there was a time back when I...
Well, because a parent never wants to see their kids suffer. that's my go-to, that's the ultimate heartstring. It's like, no, don't go down that path. They're going to go down that path. And that's another learning for us. How do you support someone while they suffer through their own choices? And, I'm sorry. You were saying there was a time.
To comment on what you said, and I'm going to go back to there was a time, is to look at it and say, my joy in this is watching this make them the person that I know they're capable of being, of who they came to be. And yes, this is a glass cut path that they chose for this next week or month or day or few hours, but it does make them grow stronger. if I've done my job right, I empower them to look at those things and say, hey, I walked on glass and it didn't kill me. I didn't even kill anybody else before I got off of it, though I thought about it. No.
Yep. Hooray for small savings of lives.
really, you know.
Yeah, but you know, the hard thing is failure is an option. Death is an option. Total ruin is an option when you walk this human game. I mean, we all hope for not, but I think we'd fool ourselves to think, you know, go meet this challenge and become what you're going to become. And I know what you're going to say, because you're Dr. Kevin and I'm me, and we sometimes share the same mental wavelength here. Even in those failures, that's where the success and the growth and the wonderfulness lies. And
see,
yet
and
there's
I
pain
have,
in there.
Yeah. Oh, but I have so redefined failure. Failure is not trying. Failure is not learning from that which didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Those are the only two failures.
Yeah.
Doing it over and over and over again and, you know, expecting a different result, the definition of insanity, that's failure. And not trying is failure. Everything else is just maybe an increment more successful and an increment less successful. But if you got up the next day, you're still breathing, you're still moving, you're still going, and you're more than you were yesterday, it was a success.
Preach it. Amen.
Oh, well, you know, earlier this year when we went into all the pandemic lockdown, I actually started doing a weekly, almost like church service that I put out for people. And I was like, yeah, no, I can't do this very long. I always smell the smoke burning and I can see the flames as combustion happens when I get anywhere near an altar.
Really? So Dr. Kevin, can I ask then? Can I interrupt wherever you were going, as is my way?
Go ahead.
So what is your sacred place? Where do you go? I get the church aversion. I get the, you know, seen it cause ruin, seen so many effects from, well, we can get into that later. But so aversion to an altar, I suspect you have aversion, not an aversion, but a version of an altar in your life.
So you asked the question, what is my sacred place?
Yes.
And my sacred place, and yes, I do have a version of an altar. I was referring to more of a church, standard church-like pulpit. I should have said pulpit, not altar, I guess, because I do have an altar. I have created in my basement, I have this huge table, and it's my creative space, and I have canvases and paints and all this stuff because I'm in the process of starting to design and draw and write the book for my own tarot deck.
Ooh.
And I have...
With you as the artist?
Yes.
Love that.
So but I have an altar beside my creativity, which is the altar to the people that have gone before me. So I have both my grandmothers, I have my father, I have my stepfather, who I call dad, because him and my mother together 50 years. I have my best friends, two different women who were my best friends in life, who both passed on. In fact, did you ever meet Dara? You didn't meet Dara because she never made it to Seattle, but you used to hear me talk about her.
No, but I have heard you speak her name. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry
she passed
to hear
away
of her
a couple
passing.
Years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, she got ALS. It's not pretty. Not a pretty passing.
That sounds beautiful.
I have to tell you, and back to answer your question about a sacred place. My sacred place is in my relationships.
Mm. Wow. Three more. That's beautiful.
My sacred place is, first of all, in my relationship with myself. And that may be the time I take to walk a beach, sit in front of a fireplace, walk through the woods. But I am just with me. And then there's my sacred place when I'm with, like, this altar, which are those people that have gone before me that I still talk with. So I'll sit down and talk with Papa, or I sit down and talk with Dara. I actually helped her cross over. Literally, she died while I was talking to her and telling her it was okay to go. I was her Sherpa to the other side, which she had made me promise I would do, and I did.
That's such a powerful experience.
Yeah, but, you know, so the sacred places, sometimes when you and I get a chance, and I mean, the last couple of times we've talked, we've been on air, not that that ever gets in our way. But, but
welcome to life with Dr. Kevin and MG.
when you and I get into that place where we are just being together and all that magic, that's one of my sacred places. That's my me and MG sacred place. And so I find my sacred places in my relationships and my relationship with God, Goddess, Ali, Buddha.
Yeah.
Great pumpkin, whatever you call it.
Great pumpkin.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's where spirit speaks, though, isn't it? It's like, it's almost in these places, all the ones that you named, they're is such a suspension of the world and the gotta-dos. And when you step to the side of that mental chatter, that's where the sacred space is. And I think there are physical reminders that can get us each there. Like you named your relationships, your altar of your loved ones who watch over you now. Totally believe that's in play. You know, for me, it's nature. If I sit under a tree, it just pulls me outside my head. And I just feel like I breathe deep and I meet spirit there.
Well,
love altar call.
As we're doing this show, I'm walking in the woods, literally.
Oh.
Every time I have a phone client or a phone meeting, or when I do my radio show, I go and I have these woods near my house, and I have several paths, and I go take a walk in the woods. And, you know,
for me.
Thank you. So, yeah. And when we find, when we recognize the sacred place that we carry within us, we then just literally extend it to touch and meld with the sacredness of the tree, the friend, the altar. It's just my sacredness and your sacredness decided to play together. But we have to touch. I mean, years ago, I wrote a poem and then actually taught a class called Spiritus Loci. And with all my travels around the world, I would always seek out to go to some place where I could touch the energy, and it felt really sacred in that moment to me. And I would breathe in and take some of that energy with me, and I would take some of my energy and leave it there.
I like that.
I did that in ceremony, ritual, very intentionally, you know, and I can go back and still touch the energy of the river in Costa Rica, or the mountaintop on the Alps, or the little tiny beach on the Mediterranean. I still can touch and smell and feel and be in all of those places whenever I choose.
Nice. I get that. The breath, breathing in, you know, you talk about breathing in the place to exchange your being and its presence.
So we are coming up to our first break. We will be right back with MG McManus, nativitytribe.com. That's nativitytribe.com. MG McManus and me here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
27.
Wow. That must feel tremendous. Yep. Okay, I hear us coming in.
And welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One Om at a time. Today on our first Thursday of the month. Now, remember, normally on our first Thursday of the month, we have Matt Connerton and we talk politics. But today we are graced and blessed with Mary Grace McManus, who we affectionately call MG.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about lots of different things. And you can be part of the conversation at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Remember, it is your world. It is your planet. It is your reality. Speak up. Make it yours. Stay quiet, and somebody else will make it theirs. So,
oh my gosh, Dr. Kevin, could I just, what's the word when you hook to somebody's line? Can I just hook on to what you just said and extend that invitation? Oh, Dr. Kevin and I can get going, but there's nothing like hearing a new voice. If you're out there, and you, even if you have nothing to say, and you dial in and say, I'm here to just share in the conversation. Dr. Kevin and I will talk to you. we will figure out why you called. It's just a joy to share.
Yep.
To share a table and an open conversation. Just want
well,
to put that
you
out
know,
there.
And I appreciate you doing that. And, you know, I've had the radio show now. I think I'm coming up to 15 years now for this radio show. And it's gone through various times of being pre-recorded. It went through times of being 5 days a week. And it went through times off and on of being live. And this last little thing of live, I'll have people reach out to me about a guest or something I said, whatever, after the fact.
Yeah.
And I'll say, why don't you call in and ask a question? You know, and they'll go, well, you always ask the best questions. So I just like to sit and listen. I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, what are you going to say? Bad?
Well, here's what you're going to say. You know, I had a couple radio shows here in Seattle for a time, and they were live shows. And when somebody would call in the energy shifted. I don't care if they were mad at me, if they were happy about what we were saying, if they agreed with the guest, if they didn't agree with the guest. It is new life. And everything shifts on just the presence. Yeah, don't even worry about your words. You bring your presence, and that spirit inside you just starts tickling and nudging and poking, and words come secondary. Bring your presence first, and the words will follow.
From your lips to the ears of my listeners.
Yeah.
You heard her.
Yeah.
202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So that being all of that wonderful stuff being said in our first segment, I'm going to do this. And then we're going to turn to your nativity cards,
okay.
Which is that yesterday I had, because, you know, I'm always creating something.
Mm-hmm.
You, me, we know what that's like, right?
Yes.
We're crazy creators.
That's the sacred place.
Yes, that's the sacred place. So yesterday in like, I had like 5 minutes and 10 minutes of stuff to do in between speaking with clients. I wrote a poem that came flying out of my lips.
Oh.
And so for some reason, I'm getting the feeling I need to share it with you today in this conversation, and then we're going to move to Nativity Tribe. How does that
sound? Put it out there. Would love to hear it.
I love a lot. I've always loved a lot. I will always love a lot. It's what I do, who I am. I've loved lots of people, places, and things, music, art, books, and bling, stuff from down below and stuff from up above. I love laughing and loving, dancing and singing, being and believing. But mostly, I love becoming. Going from who I was to who I am, but more so, who I am here to be.
That is awesome. That is so awesome, and I'll tell you the line that stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Going, I'll probably have to paraphrase it, but going from who you were to who you're becoming. I just shared this with my son, he's one. This is Gus, and he struggles with a lot of depression and questioning himself, and he's the most anxious. I said, look, you know, you are not who you were. You know, he beats himself up for questions. You are who you are becoming. Who you were is done. It's been created. It's been written in the books. You are now who you're becoming. That line in there, say that line again that you wrote in your poem. It was beautiful.
But mostly I love becoming. Going from who I was to who I am. But more so, who I am here to be.
Right. What is the key, Dr. Kevin, to making that transition from going from who I was to who I'm becoming? What is required? Because there are things that are required to stop being the past.
Yes. Well, one of the things you have to stop doing you have to do to go from the past you into the present you,
mm-hmm.
is to first of all allow yourself to truthfully see who you were.
Ooh.
And love that person, warts and all. Know that I didn't always make the right choices. I had times when I might have been a jerk, or there were times when I was less empathetic, or there were times when I was unhelpfully selfish versus times of being healthfully selfish, because there are those times as well. I was all of those things, and they all brought me here. And, you know, so being honest, giving yourself, as one of my favorite characters out of a book series I read says, the unvarnished truth.
The unvarnished truth.
I think giving yourself the unvarnished truth of where you came from and looking not to justify it, not needing to justify it, but looking for the wisdom. How did that make me wiser? How did it make me stronger? How did it make me kinder? How did it make me more gentle? How did it make me more fierce? How did all of that? I'm actually working up, because you know I'm working on the Web of Light Expo speaker series.
Yes, yes. And I have my
writing. So waiting for some.
Yes.
I've already booked out January. I'm now booking the March because I'm booking ahead. And March's theme is going to be about love. I wasn't going to make these thematic, but they're making themselves thematic.
As is the way.
Yes.
You are in partnership with the greatest creator of all.
Uh-huh. Yep. Joan Rivers. I adore her. And we just do so much good work together. Anyways.
Me, it's Phyllis Diller and the hats.
Oh, love Phyllis Diller. But so I was got a massage this morning because also part of going from who you were into who you are and who you are becoming is doing good self-care and to be self-loving and self-understanding. And my massage therapist, she's doing some kind of work on me, and I almost sit up on the table and I go, okay, she's continuing to work, and she's used to me by now, thank God. And I said to her, what do you think about this? Maybe what I'll do is in March, I'm going to talk on healthy heart, healthy life, and having a healthy spiritual heart, a healthy emotional heart, a healthy intellectual heart, and a healthy physical heart. And she goes, well, it sounds like it's a lot to try to get in an hour. And I said, well, I'm just going to like tap on it. Give them one or two things to think about, because some of these concepts are going to be mind blowing for some people. So you want to give them a little and let their mind blow a little and adjust and kind of go, okay, that resonates. I said, and then I'll follow it up if people really want to do it. I said, and I'm going to, and I'll create a program to follow up for people that want to do some mastery journey work with me. And I said, and I'm going to call it Becoming Your Heart's Desire. Becoming Your Heart's Desire.
Mm.
And that flew out of my
lips,
and I went
right into these cards. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Web of Light Expo Speaker Series in March, though you don't have to give me a term about love, but, you know, and I don't know if they'll all be thematic. The first one, which starts with tips of,
I missed what you said. So as you try to repeat, I keep interrupting.
Yeah. So the first one starts with, 5 tips to help keep you safe during the time of COVID. It goes into a healing meditation called, Healing Our Losses. And then it moves on to Rain, who's my co-host. She's going to be doing the third presentation in January, Healing Through Laughter and Music. And then a woman named Wendy Darling is going to do It's Never Too Late to Create a Miraculous Life. And then I'm going to do The Way Forward. So that's going to be the first arc. And the second arc, I have already picked out 3 themes that are either about hearts or emotions, but they don't all have to be. I don't know if the rest of them will have themes or not. All I know is I know how fabulous you are. So you give me something and I'm going to figure out whatever, how to make it work.
I'm giving you a couple something and you'll have them this weekend. You have my word.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. So, Nativity Tribe. I got my cards. Thank you.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the colors are beautiful. Just physically, I think I have to give a giant shout out to the creators, the artists of the Nativity Tribe cards. And these are Christmas cards, by the way. We keep calling them cards. And as I have done that in the past, people are like, well, are they like tarot cards? Or so these are Christmas cards that you gift to other people. And yeah. The art.
Greeting cards, the, yep.
The art and the color are just tremendous. The original artist is a guy who lives in Denmark. He is from England but lives in Denmark. And I found him, you know, as we tend to find people in you know, high-tech times, everybody's your neighbor. And he did a fabulous job and gave me all the drawings. And then I needed different little Christmas lights. And I wanted to show my characters different ethnic colors. So, you know, this second artist, Michael Talbot, in Boston, and he just such a tremendous job on staying true to the art, but then adding the color and the touches and the glows and the all the little pieces that I wanted to continue adding. And it was nicer to work with somebody who was a little closer. I was visiting my daughter in Boston for a weekend, and we just put our heads together and came out with all the changes, and it was really wonderful. He's a spectacular artist. So shout out to those wonderful people. Now, what are these cards? What are these cards? Can I ask an answer, Your Honor?
Absolutely. I want to hear your answer, because I do want the audience to know. She was on Loving, Laughing, and Alive. I saw these cards. I bought a bunch. And this weekend, I am sending out to like 10 different friends these sets of cards, because I feel like they're so powerful. And you're going to hear all about them when you come back.
First thing when we get back, let's promise.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency? 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
For the most part, I think I got the whole professional thing down really well, and a lot of my hosts didn't. Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. And
we're back.
This segment is about the NativityTribe.com, Nativity greeting cards. We've heard they're beautiful. We've heard of their art. And now MG McManus is going to tell us the concept and why you would want to get them, give them, share them, dance with them. Go.
Absolutely. So if you want to follow along, and thank you, listeners, for giving us all of this time to get to this point. But if you want to follow along, the website is nativitytribe.com. And on there, you can see visually exactly what I'm talking about. What you will find when you pick these up and look at them is a picture of kind of an elfin little group of characters in the woods, and they're set up like a typical manger scene. So they have, there's a baby, there's a mother, there's a Joseph, there's some wise characters, and I love my wise characters. They are an owl, a wizard, and a frog. There are shepherds who are of different ethnicities, different sexual, they're boys and girls, and there's baby and animals. Anyway, so there's this whole little woodland setup of the Nativity tribe. And right at this point, I've gotten comments of, oh, that's religious. I'm not going to look at this because I'm not religious. I don't like the religious side of Christmas. They're not religious cards. They are a nativity scene, and I'll tell you why. When my kids were small and growing up, Christmas is full of Christmas trees and Santa, and that was easy enough to explain the fantastical gift-giving side of Christmas. And then there are nativity scenes everywhere, these little mangers, Mary, Joseph, baby, sheep, cows, they're all there. The question's going to come. You know, we talked about this earlier. You're going to have to answer a question, and then you're going to have to ask yourself, why are you answering the question? So the question came, who are those people? Who is that? Who's the baby? Why? And it's like, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus's birthday. Why is he special? Why would we have a birthday party for Jesus? And I didn't raise my kids in the Christian religion, but tried to share, you know, all stories, all holidays with them. But I felt like people who are raised in a Christian religion have a manger. They have a baby Jesus. They have a celebration. This is a deep spiritual connection to this holiday. And while I wasn't comfortable connecting them deeply to the Christian faith, I did want that connection. So I looked at this manger and I said, okay, what do you represent to me? What do I believe? In looking at this manger, what do I believe? And what I realized is that manger reflects my deepest life belief, which is we are each a baby born under our own unique star. And that star is what calls us to live and thrive and create. It's where we feel our most creative juices, whether you're a painter or an artist or a doctor healing in the healing professions or a cook, or if you love children and you just want to be in schools or daycares, or, you know, there is something in your heart. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, Dr. Kevin and I, when we talked about your sacred space. And this star ignites that sacred space and holds it vigil for you your whole life. So even when you think you can't find it, there is a star that you were born under that you can connect with that will remind you why you came to be who you are. So that's my core belief. And along with this, I hope for every single person listening that you have had the experience of taking a chance, of taking a risk, of saying, yeah, I'm just called to do this. I can't even explain why. And you take one step, two steps toward whatever the this is that you're being called to, toward your calling, and suddenly you realize why. Suddenly people are there who are drawn to your light, your courage, your vision, whatever it is that you stepped forward with, they rise to meet you. They are the faces of your nativity tribe. And I believe in my deepest of deepest soul that this is the promise of your star. This star is whatever sacred, powerful, wonderful energy that created this world, our galaxies, our universes, us, each molecule, each cell, from the tiniest to the biggest. That intelligence is making a promise. And it says you step toward that star. You step toward what you and your deepest self know you're called to do and be. And I will rise to meet you. I will bring you a Mary, someone who loves you. Boy, girl, dog, I will bring you a soul that loves you with the devotion of a mother. It may be your mom. It may be somebody else's mom. But I will bring that person to you. I bring you a Joseph, the traditional Joseph in the manger, the one who trained the ways of the world, crafted, raised, and nurtured Joseph, the one who taught him his craft. The star, the promise of the star is that people, you look out. No, you can't sit in your corner and wait for them to come to you. You go and look, but they will be there. That's the promise. You knock on doors, you're going to find your teacher, the one who can show you the software or the dance move or the way to cook. You are going to find that teacher who believes in your craft. You are going to have shepherds along the way, and these shepherds are the ones who walk with you. They're your buddies. They know your heart. They know your struggles. They know when you achieved something, what it is you actually conquered to achieve that peace in your life. And these shepherds are going to cheer for you and cry with you. They may be there for a week or a month or 25 years. They may come and go in your life. And that's why having a nativity manger every year, you get to remember who in your life were these characters. And so there are two more cards that you get to identify and then send to these people in your manger. And one of them is the Angel Gabriella, and she is one hot mama. I'm telling you, this card is just not to be believed, with her purple hair and her low cleavage and her wings that are three times the size of her body. She's just gorgeous. But Gabriella reflects, she is for to be given to the one who believes in you, the one who you let a little piece of your dream out to. And that person is the one that turns around and says, yes, I can totally see you doing that. They believe in you before you even believe in yourself. They're the ones that encourage you to go another step forward and to believe it will happen. That is the Angel Gabriella. And then my wise guys, who I call my wise guys, are the old wizard, the owl, and the frog. And these are the ones who inspire you. They've been on the road that you're heading for, and you might hear them in TED Talks. You might hear, they might be a clerk at the store who just like made you say, step back in your own self and say, wow, I never thought of it that way. They may be somebody who has been a shepherd your whole life and suddenly has so much wisdom that you're pulling from. Whoever it is, you know, an author, a movie star, a neighbor, a teacher, there are people out there who inspire you and who make you believe, holy crap, yeah, I've seen what you've done. I can do the same and on my own journey. And so these are the wise people. And what I particularly love about these is many wise people, you won't know, and they won't know you, but they'll know your journey. And if you're able to send them one of these cards and let them know their struggles and their successes are inspiring people that they don't even know they're reaching, I think that's a gift that is like no other. And so I introduced this idea of the nativity scene, the manger scene, to my kids and let them know these are the characters in the manger. You are the baby. You have a star. You were born under a star. You are here for a purpose, and only you and your heart and your star know that purpose. And once you're in alignment with it, like Dr. Kevin said earlier, it's truth. To be able to make these shifts, we first have to reach a place of truth with ourselves. And once you're in alignment with, in truth, in authenticity, with your spirit, and you know and you see that vision that you need to walk toward, you will be supported. And so this is a simple set of cards, and they're actually quite beautiful. It's a simple set of cards, though, that you can get and give out each Christmas, one to each member of your Nativity tribe. And the other thing that comes with the set of cards, which I absolutely love, it's in a wrapper that tells you a bit about it and shows you a big picture of the Nativity scene. Tells you about it. But on the inside, there's a picture of each card and a place that you can record what the year is and who received, who was your Abba, that's the name for I give to Joseph, who was your Amma, that's the name I gave to Mary, who were your wise travelers and your companions and your angel Gabriella. And you can record the names so that you have, it becomes a gift, a memory gift for yourself. And after all, those are the gifts that just stay with us, you know, the ones that stay inside us. So Dr. Kevin, in a very, very big nutshell about the size of the oak tree the nutshell fell off of, that's the Nativity Tribe cards. And you can get them at nativitytribe.com.
One of the things I really liked, besides loving the concept and this idea, because, you know, one of the things, MG, that you may or may not remember me I used to saying back when we got a chance to hang out more together is I look at every soul as a gift from the universe to humanity. And that our only job is to become 100% who we are, because that's when we give the greatest part of our gift. And it's the gift that never stops giving. And so here we have this manger with this baby in it, which is the gift. And if I, and looking at it, because, you know, I've been very clear. I wasn't raised Christian. I'm not Christian. I have nothing against Christians. They're not bad people. If it works for you, I think it's great. Let me work what works for me and be equally excited that I found my own path. But in this, I look at that gift of that baby in that manger, and I go, this is the representation of the universe giving us this gift. And not only are Abba and the wise men and Gabriella and all of these people a gift to us to become who we are, in our becoming of who we are the gift back to them.
Right. Very well put.
Just like we talked about with children earlier this time. See, all of those conversations wrapped into this.
Isn't it? Life supports itself.
I chose to get a bunch of these cards because I have people who I know have that same struggle of they don't see themselves as a traditional, you know, baby Jesus nativity scene type person, and that they want something that also is meaningful and that recognizes those relationships, the place where we find sacred places, where I find my sacred places in my relationships.
Exactly.
And how often.
Exactly, you said that earlier.
Yeah. And so I look at this and I said, this is wonderful. And I'm going to encourage, I mean, the words are beautiful. And, but I'm going to also encourage that going through my dad's stuff, my mother's stuff, going through Papa's stuff, going through all of these people's stuff, as two have passed on and my mother is now in dementia in a nursing home and I've had to collect their lives and collecting my own life and looking at this, there are the cards we actually keep. And what I found was the cards that I always keep are the ones that that something was written in that have a message. Not that it wasn't nice to get the one that you got in the box of Hallmark, but it's the one that somebody, well, in this day and age, created for you on the computer or hand drew, or they got a card and the words in the card were beautiful, but Papa was famous for this. I have almost every card he ever gave me as an adult, because every one had a page to a page and a half written in it.
Wow.
About who I was to him, or what our relationship meant to him, or whatever.
Yeah.
And these cards are a perfect way to say, I see you, I experience you, and you are sacred in my life. MG McManus, nativitytribe.com. MG, tell me that you're going to come back and play with me on the Dr. Kevin Show in 2021, where we have nothing, no agenda, but to just talk.
Vaccines in tow, microphones in hand, and time on our side. I'm with you. Thank you, Dr.
Thank
Kevin.
You
so this
much.
Has been wonderful.
Oh, thank you. And next week, we'll be back with Thoughtful Thursday, where Lori Powers Otto and myself will be sharing thoughtful ideas, people that are doing thoughtful things in the world, and we'll encourage you to call in and share what thoughtful things have happened to you or thoughtful things that you did. We like to celebrate everyday heroes on Thoughtful Thursday.